Well, we made it through another year. It's the first opportunity we've had to be together, all of us, to worship God together as He has prescribed on the first day of the week, and it's wonderful to see so many people here. I hope it's a vision of things that we'll see throughout the rest of the year. It's wonderful to have such a full house, and Lord willing, we'll fill it even more with new souls this year and maybe restore some others. And we could do nothing better than to do that, to glorify God and certainly to save those who are lost. We are thankful for your presence here with us this morning, and we'll begin the year the same way we begin every worship service on the first day of the week, by making an appeal to you to study with us, to open your Bible as we study together, because our desire here is to know what God would have us to do, and to do that, and in order to do that, we have to know what He's told us. The only way we can know that is by looking into the Word that He's preserved down through the ages. The section that was read there speaks of the necessity of knowing what God's will is, and we certainly intend to do that. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, we need to know that will so that we can walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people. And we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. There are so many other things that compete for our time. As we're beginning this new year, we're thinking of New Year's resolutions and thinking of how we're going to plan out and budget out the time that we'll use this year. We need to understand and not be unwise in how we plan that year, but understand what the will of the Lord is for us as we go in to this new year. So today I would like to speak with you about redeeming the time. This is a lesson that I heard from a brother of ours, Buddy Payne, some years ago at the beginning of a year, and it was perhaps the most effective shot in the arm I've ever received from a single lesson, and I have been wanting to share this with you, and it's just a beautiful study of the word that's used for time in the Greek language. What we'll see is that the New Testament Greek uses two specific words. They use a couple of others, but two specific, to deal with the concepts that are inherent in our single English word, time. Now, I will say over and again, you don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand the New Testament. These verses we'll be looking at, you can understand them absolutely perfectly without knowing the details of the Greek language. But there are some details that if you have the time and the desire to do the word study, there are some details that are beautiful and will help you get at a deeper meaning if you know the difference between some of these words that are used in our New Testament in the Greek. So that's why I'd like to study this idea with you this morning. Chronos is a Greek word that's used, and we recognize that word. We see it a lot in our own English. It denotes a space of time, whether short or long, or a succession of times, shorter or longer, maybe even into times, counted in the sense of times eternal when we talk about things in the past, or a duration of time. This is something that's going on while something else is going on. In the New, in the King James Authorized Version, the phrase often is as long as this was going on, something else was going on. Literally, for whatever time this endured, this other thing also endured. It is chronos, and it's where we get our words like chronology, which is an ordered account of things according to the time they happen. Chronic, which is usually talking about diseases, perhaps something that lasts for a long period of time. Or anachronism, something that seems not to belong in this specific period of time. So it's a word that speaks of counting. Now, the way we typically, as Americans, think of time when we hear the word is in chronos. We see the clock down here and we think of the tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock of the time as it goes on into the future. And we think of it in this linear way. Well, the Greeks thought of time in this way, but they also had a very specific other way of thinking, and that's the one that we'll focus on later. But I'd like to look a little bit at this idea of linear time, of chronos time. We certainly understand about seconds and about minutes. The Bible doesn't touch on those two smaller units of measurement. They are relatively more recent, if you will, than when the Bible was written. But we certainly see that the Bible does take into account the concept of linear time, of chronos time. Hours, for example, in Matthew 20, we have the story of the men who were called to do a certain work. And it's really a story of being content with the wages that were offered and seeing that God has the right to give the same blessing to those who come later as those who come earlier. But several times through here, we have this concept of time. It's early in the day, and then it's around noon, and then it's later in the afternoon, and then it's just before pay time. And the vineyard owner or the landowner is calling men to come and do the work, and then finally he pays them all the same agreed upon wage. But the concept of the different hours of the day is inherent there. Certainly we understand the concept of days. We've been studying in the Pentateuch, and we spent a good amount of time on Genesis chapter 1, and we even talked about this idea of the days as they are in Genesis chapter 1. There was morning and evening were the first day. And so we see this concept of daytime. Weeks, in Genesis 29:27, one that came up just in our study on Wednesday night in the context here of a wedding where Jacob has been tricked into marrying Leah. In Genesis 29, verse 27, he's told to fulfill Leah's week, and then he'll also be given Rachel, and then he'll have to do another 7 years of service after that even. But that's part of what Laban was tricking Jacob into doing. But the concept of weeks, and there are several other verses also that speak of the seven-day periods. And then the concept of months. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 4, again, we've just been studying this concept as the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. In Exodus 13 and verse 4, he talks about, on this day you're going out in the month Abib, and he even describes this is the first of months for you, and then God will set up the calendar for them in these monthly increments. And then we certainly see the concept of years. In Psalm 90, and we'll come back to this psalm later on, but in Psalm 90 it's an interesting look at this concept of chronos time. Of course, this is in the Hebrew, so it's a different word. In Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. There's chronological time, but chronological time has an end to it. It counts in years, and then at one point the years end. And so this is the concept of chronos. Now let's look at this other concept that comes up. First, let's get the details here. Chronos denotes chronology. It talks about past and future. Chronology, chronos, we can use to talk about what I'm going to do next week or what happened 2 years ago. And it's quantitative. It's a counting idea. We can count 3 weeks ago or 2 days in the future. It's a counting kind of use. And the Greeks saw that as something dead. And what they mean by that is that chronos time doesn't really exist. We can only talk about chronos time in the past, something that's already existed, or something that will exist. You can't exactly speak of chronos right now. That's because of this other word. The idea that the Greeks elaborate with chronos is the idea of eternity being the lack of chronos. Eternity is always happening right now. God says, I am. And he means, I always am. I'm not going to be and I wasn't. I am, and I always am. Because he's speaking of a different concept of time. But chronos is linked to dead time, time that can only be counted because you can lay it out in the past or lay it out in the future. Here's from Amazing Grace, an idea of this chronos, or lack of chronos in eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We're not counting in chronos. Chronos is limited. It's going to have a beginning. It's going to have an end. But the other word they use is kairos. Kairos is an important word for us in terms of our service to God, and I intend to show you why as we look at this definition. It means primarily a due measure or due proportion. And when it's speaking of time, it often meant a fixed or definite period or a season. Sometimes we'll hear that phrase in the Bible a lot, season. Sometimes an opportune or seasonable time, a season or an opportunity. Now, we saw that chronos is measured linearly. We had that diagram before, but we really can't do that with kairos. I apologize for those over here that can't see this, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, that word opportunity right there is kairos. As we have time, we may have translated that in English, but the translators properly translated as we have opportunity. Opportunities are based on taking advantage of time. And so in Galatians 6:9 also, in due season we shall reap. We'll come back and look at these verses in a moment, so I'm not reading them fully now. But in due season we shall reap, in due kairos, in the set time, in an exact hour. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There was a moment that he seized, and he did what was necessary to do. We can count that in chronos. We can know it was so many thousand years ago. But at the moment he was seizing it, it was kairos. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, we get both words together. And again, we'll look at this verse in more detail, but Paul is talking about the times, chronos, and the seasons, kairos. There's a difference between the two. And what we're looking at with seasons and time and season and opportunity here is all kairos time. Now let's look at what that means for us. Kairos describes a nowness. I know that's not a word, I made that one up, but it describes the now of anything. It describes the opportune time. It's the qualitative aspect of time. Time is one of those things that exists, but you almost can't prove its existence. You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it. You can count it in chronos quantity. You can say, yeah, that was some time ago, or that will be sometime in the future, but time is elusive in that sense. Kairos describes the more important aspect of time, the qualitative aspect of it. You wouldn't say to somebody, how much Thanksgiving did you have? You might say, how much did you eat on Thanksgiving? But how much Thanksgiving did you have? That's a weird question. You might say, what kind of quality was there to your Thanksgiving? The idea is your time together with the people. You're referring to the time element, but you can't describe it necessarily in chronos unless you say, how many hours were you together with your family on Thanksgiving? But what you really want to know is, how was that time spent? What was the quality spent there? And that's just a random example. There's a better example, I'm sure. But the idea is, it's the quality in the time that's important. It's the now moment. The Greeks considered kairos as living. Kairos is living time. It's the ever-existent moment. I can say kairos because right now is kairos. Right now is the moment. For all of us, this is the moment. And we can say this is the living instant. This is what I've been given for right now. It's the opportunity of now. It is the essence of what eternity is made of. In eternity, there's no future and no past. There just always is the now. That's what makes eternity eternity. That's why God is who he is and can do the things he can do, because he exists in the essence of eternity. Always is an opportune time for God. Now, we need to understand what our responsibility is as we study this concept of kairos, as we look at the way it's used in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's open there together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, but concerning the times and the seasons, that seasons is kairos, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Some of these brethren had become upset because some were teaching that the resurrection was already past. We see some of these issues coming out as we read through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And Paul's saying, you all know better. Why are you concerned with chronos? Why are you even concerned, really, with kairos? You shouldn't be concerned about it in a quantitative way. You're wasting your time. Look at Acts chapter 1, for example, what Jesus said to the apostles when they were concerned with the same kind of issues. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. When they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He's basically saying, you don't know what God has planned in chronos. God exists in kairos. He has made plans that are going to affect you in chronos, but you don't need to know about those. What you need to be worried about only is kairos. The details of chronological time are unimportant to you. Jesus is basically saying this to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, and it's what Paul's indicating in 1 Thessalonians 5. The details of the time of chronology is unimportant, because you have work to do and you need to be concerning yourself with that right now, while it is kairos. Take advantage of the moment. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 really is exactly what Paul describes. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, he gets to the heart of this issue. And then we'll see it even more clearly in our opening verses there. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, in kairos, we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, kairos, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul's not saying, you know exactly when the hour is coming that you're going to reap. He's saying, it's always the now moment. This could be the hour. Don't grow weary. Continue doing good. Continue expecting this to be the hour. And then take advantage of the hour. Take advantage of the opportunity the hour brings. Let us not grow weary, but let us continue taking advantage of kairos that God has given us. Those are the two first examples, but here's what we opened our lesson with, Ephesians 5. And I think it's important that we see exactly how this concept of kairos plays out here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise. And he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What he says is, redeeming the kairos. Redeeming the kairos. Well, what in the world does that mean? Redeem, in this instance, means buying it up for yourself. You're going to take everything you've got to buy up kairos, because that's what's important. We tend to think otherwise. We tend to think in another way in our American mindset. We're so tuned in to Chronos time that we think in terms of, I want to get as much Chronos as I can. I can't wait till I have my week of summer vacation here in 5 months or whenever it may be. And so all I'm going to do is sit around and ponder what I'm going to do then. Well, I'm missing all of the kairos until I get there, if that's my focus. I'm missing out on the now moments because I'm concentrated on what's coming at some distant point in the future that I can quantitatively count until it comes along. It may not come. You remember the exhortation that God gave through James, you fools, don't be saying, we'll go and do such and such a thing. Say, if the Lord wills, we'll go and do such and such. We have to understand that God controls Chronos. We have no control over it, but we Americans typically tend to think too linearly about Chronos. What am I going to do in that amount of time? How can I budget and cut my time to do more of what I want to do? The point of redeeming kairos is making the season, that's the kairos, making the now moment we are given truly ours, because so often we let the now moments become something else's. We just let them go right by, and then they're gone. They're the dead time. Chronos is, well, I wasted an entire year last year. What did I do? It's gone. It's Chronos. I don't have any opportunities now. For all of that time that went by, I have no more kairos. All I have is right now. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, you'll remember, it says, we're 70 years is what we're given, and even if by virtue of strength we manage 80, well, we've wasted it all in labor and toil. There's nothing to it, and then it comes to an end. In Ecclesiastes, verse 9, Solomon gives a more, a less pessimistic view, if you will. Ecclesiastes, verse 9, chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Chronos is leading to an inevitable end for physical beings. There will be a time when physically we cannot exist anymore. We can't do the work. So what we need to do? Take advantage of kairos. Seize the day. Carpe diem was the big catchphrase. That's the idea. Take advantage of the moment. John chapter 9 and verse 4, isn't that exactly what Jesus was saying? John chapter 9, verse 4. He is very aware that in the time he had been given on the earth, he had a certain chronos in which he was going to be in the flesh. John chapter 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. He was aware of chronos, though as God he existed in kairos. He, better than anybody, could understand how to take advantage of the moments that he had. So we need to make the season we are given truly ours, this kairos time. Well, how do we do that? What do we use in order to buy up kairos? Because that's what redeem means. Buy up kairos for yourself. What am I going to buy up kairos with? It should be obvious. We have to redeem kairos from whatever less important goals that our chronos is going to serve. Now, let me put that another way. Whatever it is that is not helping us to get toward the ultimate goal of serving God, whatever it is that's eating up our time that is not useful in some way for Him, that's what we need to redeem Kairos with. Because we're only given that finite bit of Chronos, we need to put it to the best use possible. It's limited. We must use it wisely. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 17, walk circumspectly. Look around you. Pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be unwise as the fools, but redeem the time, because the days are evil. They will eat you up. Chronos will eat you up. That was actually one of the concepts the Greeks had, was that Chronos was dead because it was actually eating up all the time elements that had gone by. It was just dead time. We have to use it wisely. Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 speaks of one who doesn't use Chronos wisely, and it becomes dead time. These are the ones sown among the thorns, Jesus says. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There was so much going on in the Chronos with this person that they didn't take advantage of the Kairos. Now, this is a 24-hour graph. And then yours might look a little different than this. This is just an example. But here's the way Americans typically think of what to do, because we're thinking in terms of Chronos. We have an 8-hour work cycle. Well, somebody else sets that time for me. So that's it. I've got 8 hours. And that may be you have an hour commute, so you have to add something on to that. But let's just say roughly 8 hours that we're devoting to work time. Sleep, 7 hours. We've got to make sure we maintain our health. Family time. God expects us to encourage one another, to study with our children, to be with one another. So family time, we've devoted 3 hours. Eating, by the time you prepare your meals or go somewhere to get them, whatever, and sitting down and eating, it takes about 2 hours to eat all your meals during the day. Maybe there's an hour's worth of rest in there where it's just downtime. You need time to relax during your work breaks or whatever, and you add those up during the day, maybe it's an hour. And then you're brushing your teeth or you're brushing your hair, you're changing clothes. Maybe during the day that adds up to about an hour worth of miscellaneous time. Then you've got 2 hours you've dedicated to studying the Bible and praying and your spiritual obligations. And so here we are with a 24-hour period, and this is what we've decided in Chronos to do with that 24-hour period. Well, how can we make that better? This is a dilemma that faces some of us. We're looking at the year, how can I budget my time better so that this measly 2 hours can become more every day? How do I get more time for God? Well, maybe we'll do something like this. I can't change work. Somebody else has got me on that schedule. I've got to do that. So that can't mess with. But I can sleep a little bit less. What if I cut a half an hour of sleep off? What if I cut a half an hour out of family time? And what if I cut a half an hour eating time? I can be more efficient in the way I deal with eating. I can rest only half an hour instead of an hour, and I can make sure to be more efficient with my getting dressed and brushing teeth. If I do all that, look what I've got. I've doubled my spiritual time. This is Chronos, by the way. This is the way Americans typically think. I've made up 2 hours of extra time for God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, it is. But again, that's Chronos. This is thinking in terms of dead time. Now, let's go back to the first model, because there's really nothing wrong with that model, except for one thing. We're only seeing the Chronos as we look at that model. We're only seeing the dead time. We're not seeing the opportunities and the living time. Well, how do we fix that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 teaches us something. It's interestingly in the same or a similar context what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. They're very parallel letters, and he's talking about very similar things in these two portions. And he says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When I understand that God in Christ is the center of my life, when all of these spokes of time that go around my 24-hour wheel are centered in Him, then I'll be taking advantage of Him while I'm at work, while I'm sleeping, while I'm at family time. What do you mean take advantage while I'm sleeping? Hold on a second. If I need to rest to be efficient, if I need to rest, and God knows I do, He made me in this physical body. He's the one who created the Sabbath so that the Jews could have rest during the week. He understands the concept of rest. He called the apostles aside and said, come with me apart so that we can rest after they'd been doing some work. God understands that. If I need to sleep to be efficient, I better be sleeping, but I'm doing that with a view to being efficient in serving the Lord in my waking hours. When I'm working, who am I working for, really? My boss? My vacation? Some Kronos that I've got planned way off in the future? I'm working for the moment, and I'm serving God. I'm working as to the Lord and not as to men. Colossians says that. Ephesians says that. In this concept of time. In my family time, what's the focus in my family time? Well, it should be the Lord. Even as I'm eating and drinking to the Lord, to have the strength to serve the Lord. All of these things, if they're focused in God, they're all spiritual. All of these fit into that spiritual realm if we're taking advantage of the Kairos. Now look what I've done. I've got some extra time for God, but when? Well, in everything I do. Because God has become the center hub of everything I'm doing. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to devote Kronos time to God. We do. There are things that will be eaten up by Kronos time, such as studying the Bible, such as the hour that we've given, or the 2 hours we've given to being here together. That's Kronos time, but we're making of it Kairos, because the reason we're here is worshiping Him. The reason we're here is encouraging one another. The reason we're here is to edify and grow, to be edified. And in all of that, we've made these moments not just wasted time, not just time that's gone by, but time that's been taken advantage of for the Lord. And as we're together with our families, we can make that time that's being taken advantage of by the Lord. There's nothing wrong with resting. There's nothing wrong with recreation. The Lord understands that's part of our rest. Nothing wrong with playing a video game. But 24 hours in a row of a video game, now that's wasted a bunch of Kronos, and there was no advantage taken. There's nothing wrong with doing things that are healthy and that are not sinful in themselves if we understand that we're doing them with God in Christ as the focus. Our recreation is not what drives our lives. It's what recreates us so that our force can be fully applied in the things that are truly important. Again, unfortunately, in this country, recreation is the driving force. Entertainment and recreation has become the driving force of the American. And we need to be aware of that possibility that we have to fall into that as well. God needs to be our driving force. While we're at work, can't we take advantage of opportunities to speak with those around us about God? Can't we take advantage of opportunities to be praying and be thinking about Him and talking with Him? While we're sleeping, of course, we're unconscious, but we're resting so that we'll be ready for when our service to God while we're awake is around, and our family time and our eating and all of these opportunities, God in Christ as the center of the hub. That's Kairos. That is the single most important concept of time that I've ever come across. It has helped me so much to consider this, even in hours when I've let Kronos slip by, and I've had to stop myself and say, what am I doing? How am I taking advantage of this? Think about how much can happen in one day. Think about how much can happen in 1 minute, really. Lives can be changed entirely. September 11th, it was a span of about a half an hour, and thousands of lives were changed entirely. But think about everything that can happen in just one day. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, we have the rich fool who's building up the barns and saving all his goods and saying, now I'll be able to rest and relax. And Jesus says, you fool, your soul will be required of you this day. Then whose will all these things be? Death can come in one day, unexpectedly, and it does come one day for all of us. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, again, this concept of time. Hebrews 3, verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There are two possibilities there in Hebrews 3, as he's reminding them what happened to those in the wilderness who we're about to be studying this exact case. We have opportunity to exhort, be exhorted, or we have opportunity to become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we're letting Kronos eat us up and we're not taking advantage of it, we eventually will become hardened over time. Matthew 25, verse 13, the Lord on Kairos one day will return. Could be today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, I love this use here of Kairos as well. We then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, Paul says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 6. And then he says in verse 2, for he says, in an acceptable Kairos, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation can happen in one day. But so can reconciliation. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. If you're on your way to the altar and you realize that your brother has something against you, go and make peace with that brother. Reconciliation can happen in one day. All of these things and many more. All of this can happen if we take advantage of the kairos that is before us. Well, I hope this has been helpful and encouraging to you, and I hope it'll help you to change the way you think about time. It certainly is good to devote a certain amount of our time chronologically to the Lord and to trying to work ourselves into being better servants of His, dedicating time to study the Bible, dedicating time to study with others. That's absolutely wonderful. But if we do that and it's just dead time, if we're not doing that because God is the central focus of our life and every moment we're seizing as an opportunity for Him, eventually we're going to look back over all this dead time and say, what happened to it? I was certainly studying an awful lot, but where did I get? I was studying with an awful lot of people, but where did it get us? I was doing an awful lot of things. I was busy. But what do I have to show for it? Because I let Chronos take advantage of what should have been Kairos. How will you use this moment you've been given? You've been given an expensive piece of Kairos. Every moment that goes by is like a coin that we can use to buy up these Kairos moments, to redeem back the time. Every second that goes by, we don't get it back. But if we use it to buy up Kairos for ourselves, we'll be doing a good thing. Will you allow this moment of Chronos to pass into oblivion? Or will you seize it and turn it into Kairos for God? That's what we need to be doing. If He's the focus, we'll take advantage of these moments. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. You know you have this moment. You can look back over your whole life and say, look at all the moments I had. I don't have them again. I can't get them back. I think I've got some moments in the future, but you don't know. Because your Chronos is limited and you don't know where it ends. But you have right now. God has given you this. And He says, this is the time of salvation. Won't you be a part of that? That's what God's offering you. There is no greater gift. There is no richer gift. There is no better way to begin the week, to begin the year, than to begin putting Him as the center focus of your life. If as a Christian you haven't done that and you'd like to repent, you'd like to come forward publicly and make that confession, to ask the prayers of the congregation here and to ask us to help hold up your hands, you'd be an encouragement to us in doing that. If you'd like us to encourage you, we'd love nothing more. But if as a non-Christian you're here and your desire is to seize the time, to take advantage of the day of salvation that God has offered you today, if we can be instrumental in helping you do that, we'd love to do that as well. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He came here to pay the price for your sins, that He took advantage of the time that was given to Him here on earth, and He lived a sinless life, and He paid that price, that utter price of His own death, shedding His blood to pay the price for your life. If you believe that and you're willing to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins and come forward to have those sins removed from you as you enter into the waters of baptism, we stand ready to help you do that this day as well. Won't you come and make your need known as we stand and as we sing to encourage you?